Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that to be a sign of high intelligence. And that's our story, and we're sticking to it. Gwendolyn Galsworth, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth is our guest. She's a president and founder of Quality Methods International. It's a training, development, and consulting firm specializing in techniques of the visual workplace. She's the author of a book I'm holding in my hand, Visual Workplace, Visual Thinking. It's sold something under a billion copies around the universe. And she's our good friend. Gwendolyn, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. It's a pleasure.
It's good to have you back. And Gwendolyn, when I was a young pup, I worked for Xerox, and that was back in the days when Xerox had the dry copier. It was xerography, basically. It was dry ink on a piece of paper, and you could use a lot of different mediums, a lot of different types of things, a lot of different types of throughput, we called it. And one of our competitors in those days was the other types of equipment that operated off of chemical paper, chemical type of paper or wet paper and that sort of thing. And they only had one kind of medium that they could put through their copier, and that was the chemical type of paper that they used for the process.
Okay.
So Xerox gave us a little program called a little folder called Focus on Flexibility. And inside of that folder, and this is something we sold from, inside of that folder was lots of different textures, colors, et cetera, et cetera. And so we actually sold copiers in those days by showing people how, what if your people only put the things that were the most important on yellow paper?
Mm.
And what if your assistant wanted to make sure that on your desk, mm-hmm. if you were looking for the things that you had to work on today, mm-hmm. that it was only on yellow paper.
Yes.
Tomorrow it could be on green paper or whatever.
Yes.
But the point is that those many years ago, and I'm talking about like 30 years ago, we were using colors and textures, mm-hmm. and different types of medium, basically, mm-hmm. to sell copiers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's really the world you live in, isn't it?
It is one piece of the world. It's a wonderful example of a visual device early on of people trying to share information without having to speak, and people trying to actually sell their copiers by mm-hmm. setting up a system where people will be able to take some time and some struggle out of their day. Just looking for a piece of paper can make you crazy. You said something just before we spoke that I thought was so great, and that was that you weren't sure that people knew what a visual workplace was like or what workplace visuality was like.
I think most people just aren't aware of the visual elements that they actually use.
That's right. We are surrounded by them. They're everywhere, and it's because they work so well in our lives, so automatically, we take them for granted. We don't see them. And what you want to do in a visual workplace, in a visual factory, in a visual laundry, in a visual restaurant, in a visual office, is to do that very intentionally. And you look for the struggle when you are trying to make up your mind between this, that, and the other thing, and you can't immediately see the difference. We say in visuality to be able to tell the difference simply by looking. And if you look around the entire community of work and the environment that surrounds us, the actual roadways, the train stations, the airports, libraries, post offices, all of the common places, Home Depot, Staples, you'll see these visual devices. And boy, I tell you, when I see them in a small business, it's shocking to me because for some reason this technology has not been adopted by small business owners, and yet it is such a solution. The big companies, you know, they pay the big bucks to have people like me come in and show them how to do it, and yet it's so available to us because it's a part of our thinking. It's as simple as the color coding of your keys. If you've got six keys, you don't want to be able to, you don't want to have to search every time you use those keys for which is the right one. It makes the whole process of getting into a place so cumbersome. So you color code them, and maybe you have a little legend, or maybe you have a little word on each key that helps you identify what's the difference. It's things like that. It's
and color is so intuitive for us.
When you get your
luggage at the airport, you see people putting all kinds of different strips of cloth on their bags so they can see it easy. It's so intuitive. Why don't we use it more in our businesses? And when we come back, I'm going to get Gwendolyn to tell us about that and help us fix that little challenge. 20 Tales, stay with us. We'll be right back with Gwendolyn Galsworth. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth, the author of Visual Workplace Visual Thinking. And we're talking about the things that we see and how they impact the way we do what we do and the way how efficiently we perform. You know, Gwendolyn, when I was learning how to fly airplanes on instruments, my instructors told me about something they call the scan. And what the scan is, when you look at the instruments of an airplane, we all do it for everything that we do. But in an airplane, when you're flying in the clouds, the scan is very important. And what it means is, what the scan is you have one central focal point, which is the artificial horizon, which basically shows you what your airplane is doing relative to the horizon. And to the ground. But then you have all these other things you have to check. You have to check your engine components, you have to check your altitude, you have to check your navigation, you have to check your radios, et cetera, et cetera. But the scan, when you get the scan down, you don't have to analyze what you look at. All you have to do is see it and know what's the right thing, where, and know what it looks like when it's in the right place, that gauge, and what it looks like when it's in the wrong place. And so literally, you look at it for like a quarter of a second, and you're back. You stay at the center, at the artificial horizon, and you look over at one gauge, and you come back in a half a second. You look at another one, and you come back in a half a second. And you're not analyzing what you're seeing. You're just seeing that it's okay.
Yeah, you're using the intuitive part of your mind.
Exactly.
Which we have so little, we provide so little opportunity during the course of the day of our work day for that to really kick in, and it's such a great help. That's such a great example. I could hear you talk about it on and on and on. The airplane itself, the cockpit, the whole organization of this limited space is so maximally utilized, and we can use that as a model. You know, in a small business, if we think even the area of around a cash register where it's all happening, if you create that on the model of a cockpit so that everything is at point of use, everything is within reach, everything is in a uniform, standardized location, what happens is that you begin to subtract just a few seconds out of every transaction again and again, and there's a certain flow that's established so that work can be done, and there's a level of enjoyment because the body knows how to cooperate with the tasks that you're doing instead of constantly having to fight with finding things. You know, I was thinking during the break that let me just give three things to your listeners so that they can walk away with something that where they can begin to make applications. And this is what I'm thinking of. Number one, look for the questions that you're asked and look for the questions that you ask. Either way, we say that either way you're in motion. Motion is the enemy. Motion means moving without working. Another word is you're struggling or you're stopped. You're just completely stalled. Listen to the questions and then turn those questions into visual devices. If you have a question of where are my keys, we do this all the time. We make a little dish for our keys every time we come into the house, or there's a little hook. But all of these micro questions, if we have a question that's repeatedly asked by a customer, the answer is there, and it's there in writing, but it's not there in a book. It's there right at the point of use, maybe under some laminate, something that you've done at Kinko's, so people can easily get at that answer. We call that a standard. It's a standard answer. The second thing is start using the floor. Start actually designing the floor so that it is helping you do your work. And you're going to put lines on the floor. We call them borders or boundaries around repeatedly used spots. So you'll designate an area as incoming. You'll designate another area. You'll actually designate it. You won't let it be up to choice. You will make that choice a part of the landscape of work. And you just put some tape border. You can put electrical tape down. You put chalk down. And if you don't want to write on the piece of paper, you just put a piece of colored paper down or cardboard so that it is sitting on the top of maybe your nice rug or whatever, so you can easily find that spot. We call that boundaries and point of use. This is, oh, goodness, I remember, you know, I work in factories or in hospitals and places where there are a lot of people using a workplace. And in designating the floor and actually making that environment, putting in the pattern of work, people immediately know the difference between my work area and your work area. There are no longer squabbles about your drifting over into my place because the boundary is there and it's so intuitively in place. I love boundaries. We spend probably 8 months of a year and a half working with a company, with companies, just getting boundaries down. We say for everything that casts a shadow. And the third thing, so that's two things. Listen to the questions you are asked and that you ask, and then turn the answers into visual devices so you never have to answer those questions again or ask them again. Here comes that dumb person with that same question. Secondly, use the floor, put the borders down there, design the space. And the third thing has something to do with you, Jim. I'm thinking it would be great if people start emailing in pictures of their visual devices and you start a little page or two on your website where people can actually begin to visit these devices and we build a library of them. There's thousands.
That's a good idea, Gwen. And by the way, we're going to go to a break. Folks, if you go to my blog, which is at smallbusinessadvocate.com, on the top left, you'll see the blog link, or just go to Jim's blog. Biz. On the left side of the blog, you'll see an entry that says email a question or comment to Jim and his guests. You can send those in there. So do what Gwendolyn said. Send us your visual devices that you're using to improve the productivity of your company. Stay with us. It's 10 till. We'll be right back with Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth. Chicago for you. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth, the author of Visual Workplace, Visual Thinking. Gwendolyn, give us your website, please.
Sure, visualworkplace.com.
All right, check it out. Can we find your book there?
Yeah, you can find my book, and there's a nice little picture gallery about six or seven case studies. You just have to sign on as a member. It's free, and you'll see the work that these people came up with that are just inventions. They're just inventions to take struggle out of work, and they're visual inventions, wonderful, wonderful things. I'm thinking in particular, it's going to be impossible to describe it, but one of my favorite is this the utilization of the floor and a bulletin board where there was, used to be, it was in a test area, and there were all of these units, these small motors that needed to be tested all over the place, and people, you'll see Mike crawling through the congestion. And all they did was they lined it all up into little yellow borders. But the problem was it was still too hard to find things. And so they put, and they had like 30 of these borders, and they had, then they had a clear place to walk. But they couldn't find what they were looking for because what was in there changed order by order. Whatever needed to be tested was there until it was tested, then it went away. And they got this brilliant idea, which was to put up a bulletin board where you could just put the number of the work, and then they put a location on each one of them generically, 1 through 33, so that if your unit was in space number 27, you'd look at the bulletin board and you would see work order, and it was in 27, and when that went away, you would erase it, and you'd put the next one, a completely new one in 27 or 23 or 5 or 6. It works so beautifully.
Dorothy first taught us that with her little dog Toto and her three friends when she followed the yellow brick road, didn't she?
Oh yes. Oh, that is so great, Jim. I love your mind.
Well,
and she always knew where Toto was when she was walking because she had a special little basket and he was always in that little basket.
Exactly.
Another
thing that I think we can learn, folks, we're already doing this to some degree. You're actually doing it and you don't realize it probably. You know, logos that corporations have, small businesses and large ones. What I've talked about on the show many times before, Gwendolyn, is we don't read Coca-Cola when we see it on a stadium wall. We don't read Budweiser or whatever on a stadium wall or on a truck or whatever. We only see it. We don't have to read it because we know what it is. We see it. So when we see it, we say, okay, that's Budweiser, without reading the words at all.
It's like your scan. Absolutely.
Exactly. And so why not develop things, folks, in your business where your employees don't have to read or study anything. They don't have to think about certain things. They can look at them. If it's yellow, they know yellow means good. Or if it's green, they know green means good. That means yellow means not so good. And red means, you know, oh, we got to fix something. They don't have to think about it. They just know the colors or the shapes or whatever it might be.
And, you know, just experiment with this in one small part of your business. Do it in the back room. Do it on a counter. And you'll feel this tremendous relief in your psyche that you actually know where things are and what you think you're going to do, you can do without the physical environment kind of attacking you. This is so important for employee morale. When you do a visual workplace, they say, finally, you're doing something for me. Because work actually happens on the micro level. It happens in these minute transactions. You may have a great marketing campaign, you may have great machinery, but boy, if I can't get right to the point of use immediately, I can't do my work. Work is all about the point of use, and you have to populate the point of use with all the tools. So I'm going to go back to, I will send you a picture, I'll pick out one when I get back to my office. I'll pick out one for you to post on your website that will, I hope, be at least a starting example. Maybe it'll be one from our current website for people to think about and say, you know what, I can use that. Not exactly like that, but I can use some part of that. And then people, if folks will just send in their pictures, we'll get a nice accumulation of, 10, 20, 100 devices.
Maybe 1,000. Let's get 1,000 here, Gwendolyn. One of the things that I wanted before you go, and I've only got 20 seconds, you said, is your workplace attacking you? Folks, that's something to think, ask yourself. That could be happening. Your workplace could be attacking you, believe it or not. You need to check your position. Ask yourself that. And we'll talk about that some more next time Gwendolyn Galsworth joins us. Gwen, thank you for being here, as always.
Pleasure, really. Thanks.
Gwendolyn Galsworth, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth. Visual Workplace, Visual Thinking is her book. And we'll have her back again real soon. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.